You're listening to Find a Podcast About. Thank you for hitting play. I am your host, Timothy Kimo Bryan, and I bring my experience with podcasting since 2006 as a listener and a podcaster. I'm here to help you outsmart the algorithm and find your next binge-worthy podcast. Here's how the show works. I comb the millions of podcasts currently available for free on various platforms, and then I come back to you with what I've found. Sure, you can use the search engines for recommendations from many podcast apps, but I feel that getting a personal recommendation from a real live breathing person is still the best way to find the gems that are out there. The show is broken up into three halves. I'm a huge fan of the Car Talk show, so bear with me. The first half is the stats of the show. It gives you all the details about where to find the show, how many episodes, who's hosting the show. Basically, that part is just for those who want the stats. The second half of the show, I dig deeper into it, let you know how well the hosts interact, talk about their audio quality, and let you know what I think the show is about. The last half of the show is where I talk about why the show is binge-worthy, where to start your journey, and I'll be reaching out to the host to see if they would like to discuss their show and talk about their podcast journey. So let's get going. This episode, I'm going to be taking a listen to the Paris Review. The Paris Review is a literary journal that's printed and is one of my favorites because of the content. And when I heard they were doing a podcast, I at once subscribed to it. The poems and short stories and interviews with writers are truly what attracts me to this periodical. I was an easy catch for them because I was already rooting for them to be successful and to use this platform, podcasting. At the time of the recording, it's in a bit of hiatus, and that is one of the things that is, you know, really frustrating. However, I think if the publishers can see the impact of the podcast, they may redouble their efforts and make it a priority again. So I'm going to ask you to do something that I usually don't. I'm going to ask you to reach out to the Paris Review, and I have all the links in the show notes on how you can do that. But reach out to them, let them know that they've got an awesome podcast and you want to hear it come back. I know that's what I'm doing. Now, currently, at the time of this recording, which is in March of 2023, and wow, I can't believe we're already in 2023. Where's my flying car? I think I'm going to get it next week. It has 30 episodes, and that includes bonuses and trailer episodes. There's no set host for the show. Rather, it's a rotating cast of people who work on the magazine or who were interviewed by the magazine, because they replay those interviews that contribute to the show. Episodes run for about 36 minutes, and the first one dropped on 24 October of 2017. The frequency is episodic, and the description reads, an audio odyssey behind the scenes at the world's most legendary literary magazine. A phantasmagoric, ooh, I knew I was going to murder that word, phantasmagoric blend of stories, archival tape, and interviews with the likes of James Baldwin, Ernest Hemingway, and Dorothy Parker, plus the cutting-edge writers of our time. The genre is listed as arts and books. There's no direct way to contact the producer of the podcast that I could find, but it does have a representation of social media in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and naturally links are going to be provided in the show notes. Now, listen notes, and you know my caution about listen notes. Basically, listen notes tracks and rates their shows based on how many people listen through the listen notes app, but it rates it in the top 0.5% of shows in this category that are played on that app. Links to Podchaser, Listen Notes, and Good Pods will also be provided in the show notes. Currently, they are in production of Season 3, and I put that in quotes, and the show has been on a hiatus since May 23rd of 2022. You may be wondering why I'm interested in the podcast. Well, I can tell you, one listen is all you're going to need to really get into this podcast. And it's my hope that the creators of the podcast are encouraged by all of you going out there and checking out this podcast. Peanut butter. Yeah, sounds exciting, doesn't it? Well, actually, it is when you're talking about Sprelly peanut butter and jellies. Oh, yeah. That's right. They do their own jellies to pair with their peanut butter. And folks, it just isn't for sandwiches anymore. In fact, my family used Sprelly to make a birthday cake for the filling for my twins, and it was delicious. Sprelly produces a line of gourmet nut butter spreads and jellies. Each Sprelly spread and Sprelly jelly can mix and match in various ways, creating exponential options that elevate your PB&J experience. All you got to do is choose your spread and choose your jelly, but wait. Each individual Sprelly can also be used on a variety of delicious things. Include Sprelly as an ingredient in baking cookies or as an added boost to your smoothies. Try creating a glaze, dressing, or marinade for some of your favorite grilled dishes or salads. Or you can do what we do here in my house, just eat Sprelly right out of the jar as a snack. Where can you get your next fantastic peanut butter and jelly? Go to Sprelly.com if you're outside of the Fredericksburg area, or you can go right to their store if you're here in Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's at 1501 Princess Anne Street, Fredericksburg, Virginia. And get some Sprelly in your belly. Our favorite here is the Winter Blend Wonderland, but it's only here for a short time. Order the Tim Bryan dozen now. Okay, let's start off by talking about sound quality. This is some really top-notch stuff that they are doing for the Paris Review. But then being a subscriber from, you know, of their magazine, I would expect nothing less. The team there creates soundscapes that add to the overall feeling of the piece that they are presenting. A good design for me is one that you don't consciously notice the design. With my background in theater lighting, that's something that I was, you know, taught decades ago. And it's something that I enjoy to this day, being an audience member. Because I do podcast, I'm sensitive to sound. Not necessarily intensity, although, you know, I do have tinnitus, but reasoning as to why the sound was used for a piece. If you're going to add a soundscape to a piece, then make sure it fits the overall emotion or feeling of the piece that you're adding to it. The team at Paris Review really know how to carry this out effortlessly. Listen to this poem on that and how it underscores through sound.
I would never actually say this, so.
You mean at all? You wouldn't say it out loud?
No, that's why it's in a poem.
Yeah.
All Possible Pain, a poem by Brenda Shaughnessy. Feelings seem like made-up things, though I know they're not. I don't understand why they lead me around, why I can't explain to the cop how the pot got in my car, how my relationship with God resembled that of a prisoner and firing squad, and how I felt after I was shot. Because then the way I felt was feelingless. I had no further problems with authority. I was free from the sharp tongue of the boot of life, from its scuffed leather toe, my heart broken like a green bottle in a parking lot, my life a parking lot, 98 degrees in the shade, but there is no shade, never even a sliver. What if all possible pain was only the grief of truth, the throb lingering only in the exit wounds, though the entries were the ones that couldn't close? As if either of those, was the most real of an assortment of realities. Existing, documented, hanging like the sentenced under one sky's roof. But my feelings, well, they had no such proof.
Now, on top of being a podcaster, I'm also a poet. And if I could add soundscapes like this to my pieces when I perform them in public, oh my God, I would be in so much ecstasy. Next up is host interaction and how they welcome newcomers. So again, the Paris Review doesn't have a singular host per se, but let's listen to why that is.
Hi there, everybody. Just a quick note before we begin this very first episode of the Paris Review podcast. I'm Lauren Stein. I'm the editor of the review. We've been putting out a print quarterly since 1953. And over the course of this first season, you're going to hear fiction, poetry, interviews, and essays all culled from this strange and unique archive, all of it voiced by some incredible actors and readers. What you won't hear is much in the way of hosting from me or anybody else. We're just going to let the writing speak for itself, the way it always has in the magazine. All right, I hope you enjoy.
Now, the hosting duties change every so often, so there is no one voice of the Paris Review podcast. Now, being a solo podcast host who occasionally does interviews, I have a preference of listening to the hosts for the show that I love. For this podcast, though, I think that the rotating host plays out well due to the subject matter of some of the pieces they present. Now, I don't work behind the scenes at the Paris Review, but that may be why the podcasting schedule is not up to date or a bit erratic. Being the host or the talent of a podcast can be a full-time job unto itself, and it is hard to gauge the effectiveness of one host over the other unless you're basing on your decision on download numbers. And even then, that may not give you a solid reason for choosing one host over another. Maybe something like Poetry Magazine has with their print issues. Yes, they have a podcast as well, where the editor will take over for a few issues and give it a flair uniquely their own. Maybe they could have the editor of the print issue of the Paris Review come on at the beginning of the season and talk about what to expect for the season. That way you have something solid every season. Again, I don't work there, but feel free to email them and let them know. I'd be happy to help out for a free lifetime subscription to be their podcast producer editor. Another thing I like is the table of audio table of contents they provide in episodes.
Episode 1, Times of Cloud, featuring Maya Angelou in conversation with George Plimpton. Fiction by Dennis Johnson, a true story by Sadie Stein, and we begin with Eileen Miles reading a poem by James Schuyler.
So yeah, you can look at the show notes, but let me ask you this. When you're driving your car, maybe, you know, sitting on an airplane, do you look at show notes? It's an age-old question. Well, at least since 2004, so I guess it's not that age-old question. It's a thing of, to include show notes, how much, how will the listener be able to view them? And I think it's nice, nod to the print version of Paris Review. Some of us like that tactile feel of books in paper in our hands while reading something. And I do think that the Paris Review podcast provides that feeling in their show. Now, if you're new to the show, you can listen in and decide if there's something in there that you really want to listen to, or maybe just give it a chance on a short story or a poem that may inspire or entertain you, or maybe listen into an interview you can't find anywhere else. The last part of their format I want to discuss is how do the individual episodes relate to the overall podcast, and what are the feelings I get when I listen to it. So The Paris Review sticks to their stated description of phantasmagoric. Wow, I keep on murdering that. Phantasmagoric blend of stories, archival tape, and interviews in each episode. Sometimes they blend all three into one episode, but there's always at least one of these three main points in each episode. When they combined all three in an episode, that's icing on the cake for me. Why don't they do it all the time for all the episodes? Well, there's only 30 episodes out there right now. And you got to remember some, you know, there's a couple of trailers, a couple of bonuses. So let's let them get some legs underneath them. Now, if they do that, it may increase the average length per episode. But for me, I could listen to them all day. And I realize that not everyone has that luxury. But remember, they clock in about 36 minutes per episode. Now, pre-pandemic, the average commute time was 23 minutes, except for those of us that live in the Washington, D.C. area. That commute time can vary widely, you know, depending on the day. But, you know, you could do the NPR driveway listen to them. You know, you get done with your commute, and then you can finish it off easily that way. Moving on, how each episode makes me feel. For the most part, I'm entertained by each episode and each segment. If there's certain poems or short stories that, you know, don't do it for me, no worries. There's another segment just a few minutes away. Now, for the most part, I would say that all the segments in the episodes are enjoyable. And I've discovered new writers that I may not have given a second thought to if I hadn't heard about it in the Paris Review. So they are doing a great job of keeping new and underappreciated authors in the public sphere. If you like what you heard so far, I'd like to ask you to reach out. You can email me directly, timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz. Or you can leave me a voicemail at the website, findapodcastabout.xyz. I want to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast. And if you want me to find you a podcast in any category that you're interested in, let me know. If you're a podcaster and feel that your podcast would be served by appearing on this show, I want to talk with you too. Use the same methods of reaching out. I'm on Twitter at Find a Podcast and on Facebook at Find a Podcast About. Another thing I'd like to ask if you found value in this podcast, pass it along to a friend. Lastly, doing this podcast is a labor of love, but love ain't cheap. Neither is coffee. So consider donating to my Buy Me a Coffee Fund right on the website. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/findapodcastabout. Each episode takes about 5 to 7 hours of research and about 2 to 3 hours of production time. That's 10 hours for each episode. And that, my friends, is a lot of coffee. If you like your reviews peppy and full of energy, then make my cup overflow. Don't forget to check out my merch section on the website. I've got t-shirts, coffee mugs, and a whole lot of other items with your favorite episode art on them. Make sure to get the "Shh, I'm listening to" shirt or mug. Like I said earlier, the best recommendations come from a real person. So I'm going to help you outsmart that algorithm, and I'm going to guide you to your next binge-worthy podcast. All right, here we go. It's time for some people's favorite part of this podcast. And no, it's not the outro and the credits. It's time for me to turn you into a binger of the Paris Review podcast. Now, this podcast is for those who really enjoy literature. Now, don't get me wrong. This ain't an academic approach to literature and, you know, ain't a word, ain't in the dictionary. But this is presenting literature that you may have not been exposed to in your journeys. There is some language in these stories and poems, but I feel that, you know, we're all adults here, and many of us have heard worse. Heck, I've said worse. Not on this show, but I've said worse. When you encounter language in these episodes, and it's not frequent, it's also not gratuitous. This podcast is also for those who are already subscribers of the print magazine. That's how I found out about it. And I'm not sure if I had been a print subscriber if I would have picked this one up. And, well, the last thing is I enjoy a lot of things Paris. So I may have picked up on it from, you know, that type of a search, but I'm not 100% sure. Now, as a writer myself, and this is definitely a podcast for writers to, you know, get inspiration and to be exposed to others, it's great to hear your words being performed. You know, it might give you ideas on something that you're working on. Now, one of my favorite episodes is their dedication to Philip Roth. And Philip Roth is a favorite author of mine, but I hadn't, you know, heard his voice before. So let's take a listen.
But we wanted to take a moment to share some special audio with you. Philip Roth, a longtime friend of the magazine, died this week at age 85. Some of Roth's earliest fiction was published in the Review. In 1958, editors pulled his story, The Conversion of the Jews, from the slush pile and published it in issue 18. Roth was 25 at the time, and the story would later become part of his first book, the story collection titled Goodbye Columbus. The Review published more of Roth's work in those early days, but I'll let him tell that story. This recording comes from his speech at our 2010 Spring Revel, when Roth was given the Haddada, our award for lifetime achievement.
Good.
We hope you enjoy.
Now, that episode runs for about 20 minutes, so I'm not going to play the whole thing there for you. As a matter of fact, I'm just playing the introduction for you. But you get a little bit of his voice right there at the end. And it is a wonderful talk. So I'm going to, you know, I have all of the episodes that I reviewed here listed in the show notes. So definitely check that one out for yourself. But I look back at my bookshelf. And I have more than a few Philip Roth books that I've enjoyed over the years. And listening to this dedication, it gives me his voice to put to the books. For me, it completes the experience of reading, you know, one of his novels. Now, if you find a recording of your favorite author, I highly recommend listening to their voice and then reading their books and see if you're affected by having a reference voice for the book that, you know, you're reading by your favorite author. Now, of course, as a podcaster, I listen to people's voices all the time and note the quality of the sound that they make. And sometimes it gives me a better understanding of the author. And sometimes it drives me away from the author because I can't stand their voice. If you're looking to get your literature on, then this is the one for you. Join me in pestering them to get back into the sound booth and make more episodes. So that's the episode. I want to thank you again for, you know, taking a listen. And if you want to outsmart the algorithm and have me review a podcast, email me, timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or go to the website, findapodcastabout.xyz, where you can listen to the other episodes and leave me a voicemail. I'm here to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast. And Find a Podcast About is a production of TKB Studios. If you are interested in taming your inner critic and creating more than you consume, then head over to my other podcast, Create Art Podcast. I'll give you three guesses as to what it's about. There I discuss topics for the new artists, for the old artist, and for the artist that is a little too timid to come on out of their shell. And I review topics for those who are more seasoned in the arts. Many times I'll have on a professional artist to share their story of how they overcame the odds against the world and themselves. The website is createartpodcast.com. I'll see you there. And I'll see you next episode.